Good evening. Thank you, everyone. Got a nice crowd. I'm sure they're all here to see me. Maybe not. Okay, anyway, we will start the meeting. This is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. We'll start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice thing is we can still do the pledge here. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, next we have the roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transier's absent. Clocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis is absent. Peterson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. Well, wards 2 and 3, you get the award for full house today.
Get the gold star.
That's right. Yes. The award for the wards. Okay, so we have a quorum. I have no amendments to the agenda. Now we're on to presentations. We have an awesome presentation. Heather, are you doing this?
Awesome? Sure.
Yeah. So Heather, I always struggle with your Italian last name, Merrick Leota or something like that.
That works.
Okay, or Tilton. And by the way, Heather's birthday is after Jim's and mine. We talked about that today at our staff meeting. Heather went to school with me, but her birthday is after mine. So, you know, deduct what you'd like. But anyway, so she is here. She works at intermediate school, and she's here to recognize Ryan Goldsmith. Where's he at? Oh, right there. You said a Hawaiian shirt.
I couldn't get a hold of you.
Jim, get the one out of your office. Okay, anyway, you want to come up here and present your award? Well, thank you very much. Talk all you want. You can come up here if you want.
I'm sure people want to get home eventually.
No.
I'm not like you, John. I'll make it quick.
I will tell them what year you're born. How are you going to do it? That's perfect.
You know, look at all your peers that are here. Isn't that beautiful? I'm Heather Marziata.
Scott Beavers.
And we're fourth grade teachers at Yorkville Intermediate School. This all started as a vision that I had with Chief Jensen last summer at Grace Coffee. We wanted to talk about how we could build community and school district together. And one of our initiatives is our youth inspirator supporting others. So we were thinking how we can build the bridge between our community and our students at Yorkville Intermediate School. And one of them was Jim and I talked about working with the police. And he suggested Officer Goldsmith, I don't know if that was the to work with us. And what a blessing it has been to work with him this year. So we want to recognize Officer Goldsmith for all of his hard work and dedication and volunteerism and energy that he brought to our students, and I think we wrote up a little something, and I guess I'm reading it because I have a big mouth. Okay. We'd like to introduce ourselves as Heather Ryan Gadd and Scott Beavers. We're fourth grade teachers at Yorkville Intermediate School. At the beginning of this school year, we initiated a new after-school club that would reach out to our community and build relationships within our school and the residents of Yorkville. Our club is called YISO, which stands for Young Inspirators Supporting Others. Our vision was to have activities that were embraced and instrumental in helping our community. Having spoken to the Chief of Police, James Jensen, he enlisted Ryan Goldsmith, who is a student resource officer for the Yorkville School District 115. Not only did Officer Goldsmith assist with our vision, he also did it with a sense of eagerness, positivity, and energy. He attended our bi-monthly meetings and created positive relationships with our 4th through 6th graders. They were always asking if Officer Goldsmith would be attending, and he genuinely cares about our students. He offered valuable lessons, team-building ideas, and overall support for our club members. One way of showing his dedication was that he brought a police squad car and let students have a positive hands-on question and answer session. As a culminating activity, we provided the students with a pizza party being served by approximately 10 Yorkville Police Department officers. It is evident that there's a high level of respect for Officer Goldsmith with the number of officers willing to come in and support him and the club. To end the last club session, there was a very intense game of dodgeball recall that whether the officers versus the students. The jury still out on who was victorious, but the smiles we saw on the students' faces will last a lifetime. Please help us recognize Officer Goldsmith on the amazing work and impact he has on the citizens of Yorkville each and every day.
Okay, we will move on from the presentation. Next we have, we don't have a public hearing, but I believe we have somebody, do we have somebody zooming in from Groot?
We do. Kyle Pennington should be on the line. Kyle, I don't know if you can hear me, if you want to chime in and give everybody an update on the voter deliveries.
Yes, absolutely. Can you guys hear me by chance?
Yes.
Okay. So we've been in close contact with the cart delivery company. The carts you guys are receiving are from Sierra Container. We have two cart providers. When the contract was signed with Yorkville, this was the container company that could get the carts produced the soonest. Basically, as soon as the contract was signed, we reached out to who could get it done the soonest. This one's now, we have all the carts in the yard. They're now delivering. We're running at two crews of delivery companies right now. Two guys are out. Two different crews are out now. We'll have a third starting tomorrow, and then a fourth and possibly a fifth on late Thursday, early Friday. The intent is to have all the carts delivered by the end of the day Saturday. The hang-up on part of, well, I'll go through the way that they deliver these carts. So they start by size, so there isn't any misdelivering of sizes. So what they do is they load it up with all the 65-gallon carts and went out and delivered all of Monday and Tuesday. All of Monday and Tuesday has the 65-gallon carts. If you wanted a 35 or a 95, by the time they finish up today, Monday and Tuesday should have their 35s and 95s. We didn't get any 35s in until today because of supply chain issues. And these are carts we ordered months ago. They've just now come in on Tuesday. So as of today, our Monday and Tuesday routes, not Waste Management's Monday and Tuesday routes, but our routes will start next Monday and Tuesday. As of the end of the day today, they should all be delivered. And then we're working on Wednesday routes tomorrow. So there are already some carts delivered for Wednesday, 65s. But going forward, by the end of the day Saturday, everything will be wrapped up. Everybody will have their carts that were initially part of the rollout. From what was emailed in from each individual resident. Now, the first couple weeks of the contract, as we get cart changes and cart size changes, We will be addressing those as they come in over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks to get everything ironed out, hopefully by the end of the first month of service. A lot of the issue is when we roll out a cart size, there's a lot of carts that were switched out that weren't communicated with the city with waste management. A lot of seniors that called into waste management and asked, hey, can I have a larger can? And obviously we don't have the ability to track what is out there unless it's communicated to us. So we will have, I'm sure, a fair amount of seniors that want to swap out sizes. And, you know, we've been trying to accommodate the best we can right now. But those will be done after the initial rollout, otherwise it gets too confusing and slows down the original rollout process. And we want to make sure everybody has a cart for their first week of service. Does that kind of answer some of the questions, Bart?
I think so. And some of that is new information from the update you had given this afternoon. So I appreciate that new information that it'll be Saturday, and then that you didn't get any 35-gallon carts until today. So that's new information.
Well, we were supposed to have them last Friday, and then they moved it down the road until we were supposed to get up, obviously, yesterday morning, which wouldn't have been any different than Friday afternoon. And then we got an email from the cart delivery company that they had a power-related issue, so the mechanism that would put the wheels and axles on the cart, they had an issue with needing parts to get that machine back up. So they couldn't get wheels and axles to put on the carts. So that issue was resolved. Those carts were received this morning. And they hurried up and switched over to catch up with the delivery of the rest of the carts. So Monday and Tuesday are done.
Bart, did you have anything else?
I do not have anything.
Kyle, would you be willing to answer any questions from the council?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Okay. Mr. Koch?
I'm in Ward 1, so I guess it looks like it's a 1 to 2 day, and that's what I've been telling the residents. Most of them are okay with that. A big thing I keep hearing about is like people are on the senior discount. It seems like when they're passing out the carts, they'll get to their house and they'll skip that house. It's happening in a lot of neighborhoods. I've heard it from the north side from Saturday on. So I kind of had a question about why you would skip a house just because they're seniors if they're taking the regular size garbage thing, cart.
Let me answer that, please. Please, go ahead, Kyle.
So, you okay if I cover that one real quick?
Absolutely. Take them one at a time, please.
So the residents, obviously, if you were a senior and you didn't call in prior to the cutoff date, we actually extended a week of our, you know, we went through the first full week of April. If you didn't communicate you wanted something other than a 35-gallon cart, we defaulted any residents to a 35. So what we're finding is, and obviously we didn't get those 35-gallon carts till today, so that's why they were originally skipped, is those 35-gallon carts weren't on our property until this morning. So that's why they're going back and filling in that.
So now, if a senior wants a 65, though, they're not going to get a 65? Is that what I'm understanding this?
The original rollout is not a 65 unless they told us ahead of time. They can get a 65, but all they have to do is get a hold of us and we'll make a switch up for them.
Yeah. The seniors are allowed to get whatever can says they want as long as they pay the price.
Yeah.
And we do have it's a non-group interfacing subsidy, basically. So we discount senior rates for them. So what we've been trying to say from a customer service perspective is whatever gets delivered, if you want something different, let us know, and we'll see if we figure out a way we can broker that after the fact.
Okay. So I also just actually got mine delivered right before I left. And so there's 8 homes in the cul-de-sac. They came in with a trailer, they delivered 5 of them, and 3 houses didn't get anything. So I was trying to figure out what that means. They left with more on the trailer, so I don't know how to look their selection process. I've heard that too before from other people.
So they are definitely going out with all of one can size in the truck, and then they've been delivering to everybody on the street,
right,
theoretically, that has that can size.
All of us in the cul-de-sac should have the same.
Do you know that for sure? It was not previously, so.
Okay.
But the other three people, if you haven't talked to them, they might have called in and had a different can size.
Okay.
That would be one explanation.
That's what I'll answer. I'll give them if they ask me why they didn't get one.
And if they were on the 65-65 program, which I'm assuming is what you had, they would have been delivered all at the same time. That trailer would have only had 65-gallon recycled, 65-gallon trash on it.
So they probably want a bigger one, is what you're saying.
Or smaller. There could have been a senior that had a 65-gallon trash cart that were delivering a 35 because that was the default. Or they ended up calling in for that 20-cent more expensive 95-gallon cart.
Okay. And the last question I had, is there any way that... And there's going to be issues here and there. Is there any way to get some, I don't know, keep you here a few on hand to pass out if someone gets stuck come the weekend? And I don't know what the best way of doing that would be if to try to resolve anything that might come up.
So I ordered 1,000 extra carts to cover any seniors that want. I mean, there was only 800 seniors in the program. I ordered some extra 95-gallon and 65-gallon carts, so this way the first couple weeks we can switch out sizes. So it'll be a really quick turnaround on the size changes, but we like to wait until all of them are delivered, so this way there isn't confusion with this delivery company going back down the street. So we like to make sure everybody has something for next week's service.
Okay, that was my question.
Any other questions on this side? Mr. Peterson?
So my question is, if they don't get a cart by Monday, and Monday's their pickup day, can they just put the trash bags out on the curb and you'll pick up the trash bags?
Yeah, to be completely honest with you, the first week of service, we're not really going to be looking at stickers. I mean, obviously you have anything more than one bulk item out, that's one thing, but an extra bag out or a cart that wasn't there and... You know, there's going to be a lot of things the first couple of weeks. We just kind of plan on taking it. It just makes for an easier transition when people may not have been able to get to the Ace Hardware and get sticker, the new stickers, or, they may still have an old waste management sticker. We'll still take it. Just trying to make the transition easy on the service end. We're going to end up, over-servicing the community, not worrying about stickers, so on and so forth, the first few weeks, just to get the transition down. We also see, with the day changes and us going into the town a little early, we understand that, people may be out late. We'll make a double back through the town to make sure. We also routed this, so this way each section of town has one driver. So he goes through and he picks up the recycle. They'll dump the recycle, and then that same driver, so a lot of these homeowners build another one driver by name. He's going to go dump the recycle at our transfer station in Plano, and then come back and grab the trash. So if you were out late and you needed to flag him down, like, hey, I missed my recycle, can you send somebody over? You'll have the opportunity to let us know. But with all the day changes, we try to make the transition as easy as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Pulcher?
No, my question got answered, but then.
Mr. Funkhauser.
Will the $30 bin change fee that was set to be in place be waived for the next month as we get everything squared away?
So, I have no problem addressing that. So, the issue on that is that we're just passing the cost of that container company to stay out of sludge. To switch those out. So there isn't us marking it up. That's what we get charged for this company to go back through the entire town. There are some circumstances where certain residents have proved that, hey, I'm a snowbird, when you guys were doing this, we weren't even getting our mail, and that's the reason we couldn't switch our size out from 35 senior to 65. We've been waiting those. We've been taking them on a case by case, but realistically, we sent out flyers. What was the water bill part? That was early March?
Would have been late March.
Okay, late March. There was a couple weeks we had it posted. We had, I think, 2 or 3 weeks we call in and switch your size. The issue is we're just passing basically the cost to switch them out to the residents and not marking up. Like I said, there are circumstances where we are waiving that fee. There's already residents that we've, I would say 25% of them are waiving the fee now, depending on what the circumstances is. But for the most part, the residents have been pretty good about it. Like, yeah, I forgot to call in. I really like that larger size. If you can accommodate, we're just putting work orders in for the first couple of weeks of May.
Other questions, Mr. Funkhauser?
No, I don't care for the answer, to be honest. Not with the way the roll is going, but that's my 2 cents.
Any other questions from council? Kyle, can you just stick around for a few more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if there's anyone from the public who will comment on this on the agenda. If there are, I'm not going to have you get into a question and answer with them, but if there are some questions when they're done speaking, maybe you could respond to those. So we will go to citizen comments on any item on the agenda, but I will start, and I'm going to go a little bit out of order here. Even though this is not on the agenda, if anyone wants to comment on the Groot transition or the garbage transition, or they want to step forward and ask a question, again, it's not going to be a give and take, but if somebody wants to ask a question, please go ahead. And I didn't announce that we are Zooming this because we're allowed to. If there is anyone in Zoom land who has a question that they would like answered regarding the Groot transition, please go ahead. Any last questions from the council? Mr. Koch.
So people have been out to grab since my subdivision was done on Monday, right? People grab waste management, some of theirs, because they didn't have them, so they grabbed theirs off the street before waste management could take it. So there's houses with now waste management. Are they coming through again? How's that going?
Yeah, we've heard that they will pick up waste management cans for a couple weeks afterwards just because people are, you know, off on vacation. I do remember from the last transition we did 10 or 15 years ago, I mean, there's some of them that just have to get thrown away or repurposed because waste management eventually will say, you know, it's not worth it for us to come pick them back up.
Yes, typically the removal takes longer than the delivery just because they have to pull the wheels and axles off the cart and restack them. So it's a very labor-intensive process. So I don't know when waste management is communicated, but most of the times they ask you to leave it out at the curb. I know it looks bad for a couple of weeks, but then they have the ability to grab those. Barb, I don't want to speak out of turn, but maybe if you talk to Chris Rooney over there, maybe that's what they want, but I don't want to speak out of turn.
Any other questions? Last chance from the council. Kyle, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you want to zoom in for our whole meeting, you can, but I'm guessing you have better things to do. So.
I got to run a baseball practice. anything else, feel free to get a hold of me. And Bart and Aaron, going forward, Alex has that sheet to see exactly where we're at on the deliveries. It all adds up in the computer. They do it on a tablet and scan where they've been, where they're headed. So we can update you as we go. Like I said, everybody should have this by the end of the day, Saturday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. You all have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Okay. So we are, well, that was not a public hearing, but that's what we did under was public hearings. Okay, so now we're on to citizen comments on items on the agenda. Does anyone want to speak to items on the agenda? Does anyone in Zoom land want to speak to anything regarding an item on the agenda? None. Next we have a consent agenda. I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda with minutes from the March 22, 2022, you like that? 22-22 meeting, and bill payments totaling $991,492.04.
So moved.
Second by Soling. Oh, sorry, Mr. Funkhauser, no questions or comments on this. I apologize. I was going to ask for some. Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the mayor's report. Just want to say something. Where's Tim? Tim's hiding behind Rob. Tim just came from the soccer fields. They were in great shape, considering everything. The weather's been a challenge, but your staff's done a great job, and I know you received an email saying so. So thank you very much. And remember, May 26th, Margarita's a mile. Okay, so now we'll go to item number one. And Bart left the room. He doesn't want to talk about it tonight. Do you want me to wait a couple minutes?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Your alarm didn't go off for your basement, did it?
50-50 calls where it's like, you know, something wrong with it.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Oh, God, you had that look of terror on your face. Okay, anyway, we're doing the, I didn't realize it was called Illinois Greenhouse LLC, but anyway.
Yeah, so there's a
and Sean's here, thank you.
Yes, in the packet, Sean O'Neill from Wright Farms is here to answer questions. We have everything in the packet except for the development agreement. The development agreement itself has not changed substantially, meat and potatoes, from the last time you saw it at the last meeting. However, the lawyers have basically been going back and forth, clarifying some of the concepts, tweaking some of the language, and so it just isn't ready to be voted on yet tonight. I would anticipate with reasonable certainty that it will be ready for May 10th City Council meeting. The attorneys have basically gone through a couple of revisions, shouldn't have too many more concepts to discuss, so that should be hopefully signed in the packet next week after your vote. But in the packet, we have everything from the ordinance, we have all the exhibits for the recapture agreement, all the exhibits that come with that, so you can see all of that. And then there's a fair amount of informational material related to the last city council discussion. So there are a couple memos from Brad Sanderson related to the private water well issue, both basically putting the analysis that was given in a verbal presentation at the last meeting in writing, so that everybody has it along with exhibits. To also a new memo that addresses the concerns of the resident that was at the last meeting about his water well. So they've done a little bit of analysis on that. They don't think it's a concern, but they wanted to make that data known. And then there's a couple memos from Sean in there about the use and reuse of water on the property as it relates to their water balance, some of their systems in narrative form. I tried to say in the memo, you know, some of that stuff is still in planning and, you know, may not even be, you know, necessary for us to inspect or require a permit, but he's gone through and given us a little bit of the verbal update on what they plan to do with the water and how that works out for their internal operations. And then, let me pull back in here. There were a few other documents, I believe, on the back side of it. Yeah, I kept in the old cover memo that highlighted all these sections of the development agreement. So some of the section numbers might have changed in there. Some of the content might have changed from the next time you see it. But the concepts are all still there. And let's see if it might be real quick. Oh, and so then there's a couple things that Sean and I talked about that we wanted the City Council to just kind of weigh in on. First, certainly if anybody has any concerns about different components of the development agreement that you've previously seen or that are narrated in the memo, even if you don't see the actual development agreement this time, let us know. And, you know, that way we can make sure that the development agreement, as it's in front of you next time, is palatable. And if anybody has any objections to it, certainly let us know there. And then, two, one of the components of the agreement relates to Cornelius Road. So while the entrance to the development is not finalized, in general it will be more towards Eldemain than it will be towards Beecher Road, because the property is generally a rectangle that goes east-west. And so the concept that had been previously discussed with Cornelius Road, it being a normal development obligation, would be prior to opening, they would have to resurface or rebuild, basically, Cornelius Road for their entire stretch of their development. So we previously negotiated that they would have to do this section from Eldemain Road to their entrance, which is where all the traffic presumably will occur, before they open, which is a standard piece of the development process. But everything from the entrance to like Beecher Road, so east, their eastern property line, We had previously negotiated a timeline for 2 years. So they would have to bond for the roadway improvements, and then they would have to complete them within 2 years of their certificate of occupancy for the development. So we had settled on that. It's in the agreement as a concept. I think it's reasonable as a normal development obligation. But Sean may make his pitch here in a second. But the gist of it is that he would like to disassociate the second piece of the roadway from the two-year time frame and instead take the section from the entrance to their eastern property line and just peg it towards the next phase of their development. So in that concept, there wouldn't be any guarantee that the roadway would get done at a certain amount of time. If they did one phase of the development and then never created the second one, we would have an unfinished section of Cornelius Road there. But that is the request that he's planning to make and might have further justification. Other than that, I think that's everything in the packet. If anybody has any questions, certainly I can take them. Brad, Christy, and Sean is here too if you have questions about the overall development before next week's final document.
Questions, comments? Mr. Poacher.
Hi, Terry. And I'm Meg. I'm the one all Cornelius Road. I've heard many, many of people in front of me go, we're going to build this, we're going to build this, and I'm going to all Cornelius Road isn't done. It's no hope for me.
Done by when?
By our proposal. Not
so you're okay with Bart's proposal?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Solon, guess your hand, or are you just in ready? Smack Ken. Mr. Koch.
They have a good answer for Joe. He was asking about some of the mechanical issues.
Yeah.
Last meeting.
There's one memo in the packet from Sean. It's text. I mean, it describes the systems that they use without specificity because they haven't bought the machines yet or implemented some of the systems. But it talks about a little bit of the recycling and some of the other things that they do with their internal process. I can find that there. Somebody's got to shout it out, basically.
There should be some design diagrams, too. Okay.
Sean, just for the record, state your name.
Sean, you know, first time I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Thank you. And I'll get you a chance to speak to you in a moment.
It's PDF page 63 in the packet, 596.
Ken, are you okay if we
go
on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, other questions? Comments. So again, we're looking in 2 weeks, we're getting close to the final document here. We'd be looking to take a vote in 2 weeks. So if there's questions or comments or concerns, we'd like to talk about this today. And Sean, you wanted to make a suggestion or comment or something?
Yeah, I want to explain the issue on Cornelius, and I understand you guys have had experience with prior developers. One thing, we're putting all the money for the sewer, you know, to start. So we're clearly investing. We're clearly going to do. And I appreciate YBSD is chipping in from what we're putting up to YBSD, and we're grateful for that. We want for a grant, but we are stepping up the money. So I think we're showing more precedent and making a major contribution. I also, you know, appreciate that our parent company is well resourced, but every project has to stand on its own 2 feet. Economically, so and this one's a little bit on the hairy edge, right? We're in unprecedented economic times of inflation and everything. Costs are going up. The extension from, so we're about 400 feet in from El Main that we would build to start. And then we estimate the remaining piece of it and another $500,000. And we're not asking for that money from the city, we're just asking for time. Now, the way our budgets are probably like your budgets, right? You biannual month or whatever, but for us, the project budget is, I think it's 2 years to be about a year to build. It'll be a single budget for this project in 2 years puts this road extension in the same budget, so it's in the same economics of the same project. It causes me to bump up against the edge of what I can feasibly do.
John, I just want to, and I don't want to argue with you, I just want to understand. And Bart, maybe I misunderstood you. I thought you said to the entrance, we're in agreement, at least our proposal, before you get your occupancy. But then 2 years after you get the occupancy, you would have to finish it. So that would give you 3 years total. I assume it's going to take you a year to do this project.
I thought it was 2 years from start construction, 2 years from occupancy.
Two years from occupancy is how it was.
So there, we've resolved it right there. We've agreed to your request. No, you just said it. You want another budget year, you're going to get another budget year.
Well, it depends on when our second phase is.
Okay.
All I need to do is make sure that this is in the next phase of construction. And the reason I think that's warranted is, the road is not heavily traveled now. Initially, we were told, hey, this is not a road you want to see a lot of traffic on. I've given you guys a site plan. It's showing four phases of development. We never put this much time and effort, resources into something we've got to build one phase of. So I'm just asking, essentially, to put this piece into the budget of the next phase of construction, which could be 2 years, could be 3 years, could be four. I'd be willing to bond out that far if you want, so call it four, or call it five, or something like that. But what I need to do for me to keep this budget, this project in line, in our own budget, is to push that into the next phase of construction. That's what I'm asking for. You don't have to give it. It puts me in a bind in terms of getting my project approved.
So I'm not saying the city would grant this, but I'm trying to understand your request. So you got to finish the first section before you get your occupancy.
Yes.
The remainder, you're requesting that we allow to go out to 4 years total?
Yeah, so.
So one additional year to what we've proposed, then, essentially.
I can live with that.
So 3 years instead of 2 years.
I can live with that.
And you would bond for that.
I think if we have to, I think we're showing we're going to be credit, we're ready to step up.
We can't vote on anything. Let's just get some feedback from the council. There's six people here. Mr. Funkhauser?
So, just saying 3 years from COO. Okay, so it could, in essence, be 4 years from the time we actually had construction. So,
and we were proposing 3 years total, so he's asking for one additional.
Honestly, the one extra year, from my point of view, is not sort of, we have a hard number. So for me, whether or not you do the next phase or not, the obligation would be completed by the third year after the CO. That would be fine by me, give them an extra year, but it's not tied to your phase, it's just tied to the CO. That's what I would be comfortable with.
John?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, but I want to bond it too.
Mr. Peterson?
I would agree with that, bond it as well.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Ms. Koch, Ms. Sullen.
The bond guarantees us, right?
What?
The bond guarantees us.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Theoretically, until the bond company says.
We got another issue. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
The reason I was going for the second phase is my idea is real leverage is we can't expand. So that's a real piece of leverage here. I would assume that would be in there anyway.
That answer your question?
Yeah, I think we're
good. Okay. Anything else, Sean? Or is that?
I'll sit down unless there's any other questions.
I know you had at least that one issue, but okay. Okay, so again, back to just the high level. We're looking to have a vote on this in 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks next meeting? The way the weeks fall, or is it three? I don't know. Okay. So if you have questions, concerns, I'd rather know now. Then in the last minute, and if somebody's against it or against it, I understand it, but I'd rather not be slam dunked at the last meeting with concerns. We did have the question raised by a resident at the last meeting on River Road about the well, and Brad's firm did analysis on that. It's in a different aquifer, correct?
Correct.
I think it's shallower, or
it is.
Yes.
Shallower, yes.
And there's whatever the term is. There's no seepage between the two aquifers. Is that correct? So there should be no impact because of our project. I can't speak for other projects, but not any, because I shouldn't say our project, their project, in Yorkville. So, Mr. Soling.
Should this project go through, is that something that's publishable for the public to see, the well studies? That's something we can put out?
Yes, they're actually in the packet. So whatever had been submitted and then the analysis that Brian did is buried among other things.
I saw that there, but I can promote it more.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, we can post that on the project page for the development.
Anything else on this side?
I'd still like to see a better breakdown of the recapture format. And I see how you listed the narrative, but I'd actually physically see your plans and the equipment you plan to use.
Yeah, well, so we haven't inspected all the equipment yet, but I did supply a diagram. I don't know if that one happened.
I don't think I saw it, which doesn't mean that you didn't send it
to me. I'll send you, does it need to go out with Patrick, or can I just send you?
Send it to Bart.
Send it to me and I'll distribute it to everybody.
Yeah, I thought we did send a flow diagram that will show you, it will have the name of the equipment, we'll tell you the spec of the model number.
Right. Yeah. Will I show like retention sizes and stuff on the grid?
Well, that's more in your plan, so you should also have a development plan, or if not, you can sort of like that too. It shows you each of the four you did, that's the general. And that has retention ponds and the acreages of those retention ponds, both the basins, the retention basins, and the rainwater retention ponds. And then there's another diagram that shows a little bit like, not the flow diagram from the equipment, but it shows you where the water's coming from and going to.
Anything else on this side? You okay? For now? I can. Okay, I get it. I can see. The wheels are turning. I see the smoke. Mr. Funkhauser, you want me to start with you or Mr. Peterson?
Start with Peterson.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. Mr. Plocher, do you want to defer to Mr. Funkhauser? You're much more polite than I am. No one's going to argue with that either.
So on the plan, talk about the rainwater retention basins. Can you describe those a little bit since they are natural retention? Are those going to be just building surface capture or is there any ground surface? Because there is a difference between stormwater on the site and these rainwater retention basins. Are they going to be lined? Can you explain that a little?
So I'm going to take a little bit of a leap here because I'm not, in fact, my civil engineer next to me will give you a better answer. But I think I'm right in saying we're going to have lined rainwater. That's for reuse, rainwater reuse. The site retention basins are something you've got to acquire as a standard matter of course for design. Those won't be lined. They'll be intended to capture stormwater primarily and allow it to go back into the soil.
So for those basins, though, there's one in each building. Is it a safe assumption that that is capturing water from the building, the roof itself?
From the building.
So is that, I may have jumped ahead, is that mitigating some of your requirements for surface stormwater requirements?
Chris, we just received the stormwater report late yesterday. We have not reviewed that, but that'll be reviewed in detail as a part of the site plan review process. So can't answer that.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Yes.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I just, for my own benefit, I'd like to know, what are you guys planning to do with the area outside of your ultimate development? You're not developing the full 200 acres.
So yeah, as you see, a lot of the site is developed. We haven't determined that yet. It may just be, grass.
You looking for a donation there, Funkhauser?
No, I'm not looking for a donation. Okay. It's just, there is a... Of the 200 acres, there is a substantial area. There's frontage along Eldamain. Is that something that might be parceled off at a later date? I'm just looking to see, or is it just going to stay agricultural, the farm, lease?
Well, I believe the main segment, so in between phases, nothing happens. We don't want to have an encumbrance of anything.
Right.
Once it's all picked out, I think there's only kind of a guessing. And there is no plan for that, but we would like to preserve optionality for other things we might do. We're going to most likely have solar on our head house, that'll be up on top of the main processing building. Are there other uses we might do that land? I don't know. It's right now, we're in a phase of growth where we're very much looking to preserve optionality. Obviously, anything we would do, most things we would do, we're going to have to come back and confirm with you.
Mr. Zolling?
I'll be out of time.
getting a lot of feedback from residents about the water. I'm sure they're about the water, these water, these water. I have a hard time making up a decision based on what I hear. For us, on one hand, to say we're building a facility because we're running out of water, but we're going to permit to pump a lot of water. So if you gave me that stuff, it would really be easy.
Sure, those would just be flow diagrams and everything. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that what we did with the science and the Illinois State Water Survey showed that we did follow proper process in studying what we were doing. I think Brad can attest to, and I don't know how far you get into it with residents around aquifers and where the water's coming from, but we're really not touching anything that affects Yorkville's water. And in 10 years, Yorkville's water's coming from something else anyway. One of the interesting things that I think our hydrogeologist explained to me is that when Chicago went from their deep water aquifers to lake source, their deep water aquifers came back and restored. So there's a thing where it would use a lot. Once you go to lake water, everything sort of recovers. But we're not really even part of that. We're kind of an in-between layer. It doesn't affect anyone. And I guess if I was giving a response, I would say, look, they're kind of in the middle of the Oreo, where it's not really touching your water. There's a few limited people that might be affected, and we're making them go talk to them and work with them. So,
Sean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I'm trying to remember from the last meeting. Was it your projection, your company's projection, that a full build-out, you would use about 40 million gallons of water a year?
Wow. So
I thought it was like 100, but you're going to recover like 50 or 60.
I think we made net somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. And so, and again, I'm not trying to dismiss the person's concerns, but it's a different aquifer than we're in. And remember, the Lake Michigan project's going to be Montgomery, Oswego, and Yorkville together. The three communities together use about 2.5 billion gallons of water a year. This is, again, different aquifer, maybe 40 million. What is that, 1.5% or something of, so, good questions, but just to put it in perspective. Other questions? John, any last thing? Oh, Mr. Plocher.
Whoever came with the about them shallow wells that they were talking about last time.
So we're going to come back to you with another permit for the shallow well. And
that's part of the agreement.
Yeah, and you know, basically the agreement says we have to do the same process, right? And that's what presumably you have to do anywhere when you're, you know, there's sensitive water issue. We have to go do a drawdown test, do exactly the same thing as before. Bradshaw will review and say, hey, they're what they call the cone of depression, which is the area around your wellhead, tells you after your drawdown test how many neighboring wells are likely to affect. We'll do that test. But I will tell you that one of the things we discovered in doing this initial well is, you know, we got down about, I think the water is at about 50 feet, something like that, is where you start hitting the real water with sandy gravel. When we hit about 70 or 80 feet there, the well drove said, oh my God, we get 1,000 gallons a minute. That layer is so porous. So we feel fairly confident that we'll be able to do a shallow well there without affecting neighbors at all. We do exactly the same process to make sure what we're doing doesn't affect anyone. And again, that will be to mitigate the people who are well. It's not like we're going to draw more water. It's just drawing from a different place. We expect that water to be saltier, have other residuals in it because it's closer to the surface, and we'll use it for different stuff. We probably won't use it for growing. Most of the water, again, is going into plants. So when you think of like an industrial process, the vast majority of the water is just going through the plant back into your air.
This is probably for Brad. So the analysis that was done was done on a whole build-out of the facility and using a singular well. Is that correct?
Correct, into the St. Peter's facility.
Okay, so the analysis shows that it works with the deep well. Why would you need to supplement with a secondary well? If it does work with just one, what would be the purpose of the second?
There's a few reasons. One is
well pumps fail, if you have well problems, you always want redundancy in your water, especially if your plants die without it. You gotta have that. And yes, we'll be having rainwater and everything, but you know, rainwater isn't necessarily always present in the quantities you need. That's one. The second is there's a sort of sustainability issue. The pump that runs 550 feet down or whatever is doing a lot of work, and that's a big pump. And you get it from shallower, you're spending less on running electricity and everything to pump 100 feet down or whatever that this next one's going to be. It's less carbon footprint, less money.
Yeah, we've got quite a few of them, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what the process is. We'd be approving one well, but anything else you need, you have to come back. You have to go through the process of running the analysis.
So again, it's just like what Brad did.
But would that be with the future phase, not with the initial phase?
No, we'd like that for the initial phase. Yeah. Again, this is not a. It would not add to our net draw. And remember, the other thing I would add is because the study was done for all four phases, we're talking about reaching these levels of water consumption 8 or 10 years.
But the road will be finished by then.
Let's hope so.
You know it will be. That's why you're bonding.
Yeah, that means we're growing really well. But all four phases will be done, you know, maybe over a time line like 8 years. You guys are probably pretty close to your other water source at that point. Not that we would ever, we're going to bother your existing water situation anyway. But think about this as our ramp up is over a relatively long horizon. So this additional well is about redundancy.
You can have a good point. We'll have, before we get to those other phases, we'll have history on this to see how accurate their projections are. So, Mr. Funkhauser, I see the wheels still turning.
I'm trying to be protective of the water source, but you know, there are some good points in there, I will say. So, it's not something that I want to say no to, but I was under the impression it was just going to be the one initially.
Well, we're approving one with agreement in 2 weeks. We wouldn't be approving two in 2 weeks.
Correct. We just want to know that we have conceptually a process outlined that if we follow it, we make the satisfaction that we either have no impact or mitigated it, that I think it says in the development agreement, permission not unreasonably withheld. And to be reasonably is, did you mitigate any impact? And did you take care of others?
Questions? Okay, so again, we'll have it in 2 weeks. Sean, thank you for your time. Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep, thank you.
I want to thank Brad, Mark, and Christy, Eric. Your staff is great. We're a heavy lift. We're supposed to do a lot for us, so we're really grateful.
That's why we have such a great town.
I know.
Plus the Alderman. Excellent. Next. What's that? Joe. We have a couple proclamations. First is Poppy Day's proclamation. Oh, this is fantastic. Is this the right one?
Yep.
Okay. We've done this every year. How many years have they been doing the Poppy Day's proclamation?
With me, at least 5 or 6.
Yeah, because I think you came to the county when I was over there, too.
You're going back
again. That's okay.
It's been a while.
That's okay. That's good. Whereas America is a land of freedom, preserved and protected willingly and freely by citizen soldiers, whereas millions who have answered the call to arms have died on the field of battle, whereas a nation of peace must be reminded of the price of war and the debt owed to those who have died in war, whereas the red poppy has been designated as a symbol of sacrifice of lives in all wars, whereas the American Legion Post 489 and American Legion Auxiliary Unit 489 have pledged to remind America annually of this debt through the distribution of the memorial flower, so that May 9th through 15th, 2022 may serve as Poppy Awareness Days. Therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby proclaim Poppy Awareness Days in the United City of Yorkville and request all citizens to observe these days by wearing a poppy and making contributions for this worthy cause. Thank you. You want to come up and get this?
I think they're going to pin you, too.
Oh, you're going to pin me? Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. That's awesome. Do I have to wear this for the next month?
see if you draw some blood here.
Well, thank you.
You
can have this.
Yes.
Motorcycle Awareness Month. And now it's, knock on wood, gonna get warmer out. We're gonna see some motorcycles out and about. I've seen some, actually. Whereas safety is the highest priority for the highways and streets of our city and state, and the great state of Illinois is proud to be a national leader in motorcycle safety education awareness, and motorcycles are a common and economical means of transportation that reduces fuel consumption and road wear, and contributes in a significant way to the relief of traffic and parking congestion. And it is especially meaningful that the citizens of our city and state be aware of motorcycles on the roadways and recognize the importance of motorcycle safety. And whereas the members of the Abate of Illinois, Inc., a brotherhood aimed toward education, continually promote motorcycle safety education and awareness in high school driver's education programs and to the general public in our city and state, presenting motorcycle awareness programs to over 120,000 participants in Illinois over the past 7 years. That's a lot. Whereas all motorcyclists should join Abate of Illinois in actively promoting the safe operation of motorcycles, as well as promoting motorcycle safety, education, awareness, and respect of the citizens of our city and state. And whereas the motorcyclists of Illinois have contributed extensive volunteerism and money to national community charitable organizations, and during the month of May, all roadway users should unite in the safe sharing of the roadways within the United City of Yorkville and throughout the state of Illinois. Now, therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville and the great state of Illinois, in recognition of 35 years of Abate of Illinois and over 352,318 registered motorcyclists statewide, and in recognition of the continued role Illinois serves as a leader in motorcycle safety, education, and awareness, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2022 as Motorcycle Awareness Month in the United City of Yorkville, and urge all motorists to join in an effort to improve safety and awareness on our roadways. Thank you. Do we have anyone here? Nope. Okay. Well, here. There it is. And we'll get that to them. So thank you. Excellent. And that is the end of my proclamation. Next, I am looking for a motion to approve the appointments of Ryan Forrestal to the Library Board to a term ending May 2025, Jackie Milshewski to the Library Board to a term ending May 2025, Carrie Pasola to the Library Board to a term ending May 2025, Greg Millen to the Planning and Zoning Commission to a term ending May 2026, Jeff Olson to the Planning and Zoning Commission to a term ending May 2026, and Richard Vineyard to a term ending May 2026.
So moved. Second.
Is that a miracle here? Discussion? Mr. Plocher?
I agree that they're all qualified appointments, but I think one has duly served our community. I wish you would just stay home and enjoy it.
Well, I tried to make her a two-for-one deal. I said, hey, if you want to be on the park board, and she said no. So, okay, any other comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Merrick, I almost skipped you. Public Works Committee.
You can go and skip them.
Okay. Economic Development Committee. I think that's Mr. Peterson, even though I tried to pass off in Funkhauser last time. I did. I tried to pass it to you, and you kept looking at me. Yeah.
All right. I need a motion to approve an ordinance approving the second amendment to the annexation and planned unit development agreement for a portion of the Windmill Farms development, which is BW Property Holdings, LLC, Recolage Wellness, PLLC, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Mr. Cope. Christy?
I just wanted to know a brief history of it. This is a property that had a plan developed in 2008. Nothing transpired on that property. Even the property had lots that were under contract that never were purchased, so there was no final plat. So we are backing out all the individual parcels and allowing them to rezone and develop in a different way than what was approved in the plan.
Questions or comments? Staff recommended it? Commission recommended it?
This is only a public hearing.
Oh, this is only a public hearing. Okay.
So no, this is a vote, but this project.
This project, okay.
The city
council. So staff's fine with it, though. Okay, questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, anything else?
That's it, Your Honor.
Excellent. Thank you. Public Safety Committee report. Oh, Mr. Tran, who's number two on there? I guess we have no report either way, right? Okay, that's easy enough. Admin Committee report?
No report.
Park Board? We do have a vacancy. You may have spoken to somebody about it. I'm not quite sure. If you have, I hope that person's very interested because I think they'd be very qualified. So thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission. Man, it's back to me again. This is just fantastic. You know what? I think, Mr. Plocher, you've been kind of quiet over there. Do you want to read one of these?
Sure. motion to approve an ordinance approving the rezoning of B3 General Business Zoning District and property located at 8721 Route 126, repeal of the ordinance 2008-42, and it's applied to POP Properties, BW Properties Holding LLC, Bright College Wellness, PLLC, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Merrick, Christy, anything else?
So this is the second part of that request, so they were allowed to back out of the annexation agreement in PUD. The zoning now is being requested to go to B3 to allow for an office use in that property.
And it makes good sense. Excellent. Questions or comments from the council? Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Soling, you want to do number two? Okay, then I'll do that one. That's fantastic. We're on the number 2022-6 and EDC 2022. I'm looking for a motion to approve the ordinance of the final plat of re-subdivision for Bristol Bay, PUD Unit 3.
So moved.
Second.
Peterson and Funkhauser. Okay, and this, I'm going to let Christy talk about this. There's some slight amendments to the setbacks, and we're going from 60 to 61 total units. Is that correct?
Yes.
So go ahead, please, Christy.
So this was a previously approved final plat. Developer has a different model or a different type of product that they're proposing in the townhome section. So they are increasing the units from 60 to 61, which is permitted per their annexation agreement. And with that, they've had some adjustments to the interior building lines for those lots, so that's what the final plat amendment is for, which is also called a re-subdivision. But they also requested minor improvements within the rear and side property lines, which would be approved through a minor PUD process and just administrative. So those lots are 12, 13, 15, 18, which are identified in the final plat exhibit in your packet. Also, with this unit, they are not encroaching with the new product on the lot that is going to have the increased unit. So that increased unit is not encroached. There was a question by Mr. Funkhauser at a previous meeting asking if that product would go into that building line. So it does not, it jogs a little bit so that it does not encroach on that setback. staff is fully supportive of this request. And the petitioner is here if there's any questions. And the city planning and zoning commission also, as you may have, is in their recommendation.
Questions or comments from council? Roll call, please.
Merrick.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Cope.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Okay, I guess I'll do this next one since I got shunned last time. Okay, I'm looking for a motion to approve PZC 2022-07 and EDC 2022-23. Ordinance approving the final plat of subdivision for Bristol Bay PUD Unit 13.
So moved.
Second.
Merrick, and was it Soling or Koch? Okay. MM and KK. Okay, we talked about that before. Now, this is for single family homes, correct? And for 69, they're also dedicating a park site, is that correct?
That's correct.
How big is that? Do you know? I didn't even ask it.
3.25 acres.
Oh, so it's a nice size, 3.25 acres. Is that at a four-way intersection by chance?
No.
Okay. Excellent. Also, was it $50,000 for the parks?
Correct.
Very nice. Very nice. So all of you know, I think it was Chris. Heck, this may go back to Joe's first term.
Probably.
You helped negotiate this 18 years ago, whatever the heck it was. So thank
Sorry.
You. Anyway. Chrissy, what else?
The petition will have 69 single family and one park, as we mentioned, and they are anxious to get started. They are selling the lots to NVR to develop for single family.
Excellent. Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Thank you for sitting through the meeting. Sorry to get to talk. Okay. We're on to the city council report. Mr. Funkhauser, you have anything?
I have nothing.
Any other members? No? Okay. City clerk's report?
No report.
And I thought they were here to see us. Community and liaison reports? Nope. Okay. What's that? Okay, but not today. Staff report?
No report.
Mayor's report. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Olson because I'm not going to say anything else.
Two quick updates on the buildings. First, obviously, contractors working away on the Prairie Point building. If anybody would like a tour, let me know. We can set you up with an inspector or somebody else if you need access. They are rapidly proceeding with demolition and actually starting to do some of the wall construction and rough-ins of the different utilities. So things are moving swimmingly. I will say that they have demoed the entire ceiling of the city council chambers on the third floor. And me as a non-inspector, planner, or building person was amazed at the height of the ceiling actually in some of the areas, especially above the dais. So we are internally talking about a couple different options to maybe pivot some of the HVAC pipes and other equipment in the room. So that you might be able to have maybe more of an open industrial type look or maybe just a higher ceiling towards the dais than we had originally thought. Obviously all that comes at a cost, and so hopefully we'll be able to give you a few different options or just keep it the way that we had originally planned as is. But I think a few of us saw it and said, oh, that's a lot larger than we expected it to be, and so we think there's some opportunity in our discussion. And then second, on the Public Works building, we have had early discussions with Kluber Architects, who did our space needs analysis, about coming back to do a site-specific design for if and when we identify this property and choose to acquire it, but more specifically to help us through some of the budgeting discussions. So paring down the building, making some decisions so that it comes into a smaller price than what we originally discussed. And so that I would expect to be in front of the Public Works Committee in May. So we're reviewing, it's a 3 or 4 page proposal mixed with the architects as it's starting that process in the summer. So that if and when we identify a piece of property, we can move forward with the plan to design that. That's it for city building. buildings, unless anybody has any other questions. Okay. And then the water study update, if I could.
Please.
My counterparts in Oswego, Montgomery, and I did travel to Page Water Commission yesterday to meet the new executive director. Mostly a meet and greet. We got a mini tour of the facility, as expected, impressive professionalism and in operations. Nothing popped up that's a red flag, obviously, either with the director of the facility, so that was good news. He did express a lot of willingness to work with us on terms of the agreements moving forward, flexibility of different sections and things that we need. And so they are actually going to start their own high-level planning processes within their own organization, so that at some point this summer we can have joint conversations or just have a bunch of seminars or informational meetings here on the entire process and components we have to do, how you fund them in different financial terms. So we had originally thought that maybe we were going to have to do all of that first and then ship that to them, have them review it and study it. But instead, they said, we're going to start our own planning processes, and then we'll do some internally too, and eventually we'll be prepared notes and off we run after that.
Questions? Thank you. Anything else, Bart?
No, thank you.
Is there any additional business? Are there any citizen comments? They all left, it looks like. Anyone in Zoom? No. I do have a brief executive session. I promise, depending on the numbers of questions or number of questions, it will be brief. But I'm looking for a motion to go into executive session. Oh, and there will be no action after this. For litigation, pending, ongoing, et cetera, et cetera. Peterson and Merrick, roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Do you have to be the breaking vote there?
No, that's fine.
Motion carries.
Yeah, I had to think about that. It was five. There's six. No, there's five. No, there's five.
Present.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.
Aye. Okay, did you get that? Fletcher and Funkhauser on the second one. Thank you. Thank you all very much.